This is the Jason Greger Show podcast presented by Lakewood Chevrolet. Good people, great service, and also voted the number one dealer in Canada at dealerrater.ca. Check them out, lakewoodchev.com. Calgary Flames made a trade. Well, they made a few, but they made one today involving Curtis Lazar, former Edmonton Oil King, Koska, the minor league defenseman, Jyrki Jokipäkä, who was acquired last year at the trade deadline for Chris Russell, and a second rounder go to the Ottawa Senators. Jermaine Franklin joins us as the Calgary Flames. All four teams in the Pacific now in a pretty comfortable position in the final 18-19 games of the season. The Flames come in 2 points back of the Ducks, four back of the Oilers, as we might for the first time in some of our listeners' lives see Oilers and Flames in the playoffs head-to-head. Jermaine Franklin joins us from TSN. You laughed, Jermaine, but it's true. It's true. Oilers-Flames could meet for the first time since 1991. Like, it's not completely outside the realms of possibilities.
It is so true, and I remember it was the Flames that didn't do their part in 2006.
Yeah,
when they lost in seven games at home to the Anaheim Ducks. And unfortunately for the Flames and I guess Battle of Alberta fans, they never got to see it again. So there's another chance. There's a chance this year. So hopefully it comes to fruition. That's for sure.
Now, Jermaine, you're far too young to have remembered the bad old days when they actually was a Battle of Alberta in reality, not just in name, aren't you?
No, I'm not too young. I was definitely too young to realize the damage that the players did to each other back in the days, like the Messier-Natras elbow. I remember that quite fondly as an Oilers fan when I was a youngster. But
what elbow? What elbow?
Exactly. You see those highlights of this day and age, you're like, whoa, that's some pretty serious stuff. What was going on there? So yeah, I was definitely very young back then. But I still remember. That's how good it was. Let's put it that way.
Jermaine, it's interesting. You look at the Oilers and the Flames. They have 18 games remaining. And the schedule maker, Detroit's, the Islanders, Montreal, Pittsburgh, Boston, Dallas, L.A., they're all in Calgary. They're all in Edmonton between now and the 19th. The Flames have one road game in between there against the Jets, where the Oilers have eight straight at home, and their other home game is against the Sharks. So they play exact same opponents at home, except the Oilers have the Sharks and the Flames have the Jets on the road. So, you know, pretty similar situations. I look, there are some back-to-back nights that favor the Oilers, where Detroit's in Calgary tomorrow or Friday, and then Edmonton gets them on Saturday night. But, you know, other than that, there isn't a whole bunch. So you look at the Flames now, what's been the biggest reason for their sudden turnaround? I think they're 8-2-1 now in their last 11.
Yeah, it sounds subtle, and it doesn't sound like it should be a huge reason, but honestly, it is the stability on the blue line. I know that we've talked about it before, or I talked about it before on the station, how Dennis Wideman has simply lost a step. He's no longer necessarily an asset on the power play like he used to be, and he is definitely not he's not keeping up to the play, or he wasn't keeping up to the play for quite some time with the Flames. I'm not sure why they continued to try and make it work with TJ Brody, but that number two pairing, because Giordano and Hamilton have been very solid, very good as the number one pairing. The number two pairing just hasn't been living up to snuff. They bring in Michael Stone, and yes, it's too much to say that he is the reason why they've won five straight games, but he is the reason TJ Brody looks a lot better all of a sudden. TJ Brody has a lot less stress on his mind. He doesn't have to worry about covering both ends of the rink anymore. Stone is a true NHL defenseman who can be a solid and is a solid number four. He's physical. He holds guys up in his own zone, meaning he can pin guys against the wall, helping others to break out quickly. And I think that's made a huge difference. Quietly, but huge difference for the Flames in terms of stability on the blue line. And Bartkowski, I can't say that he's heads and shoulders above Jyrki Jokipäkä, who has been traded today, but I can say this. Coach Glenn Gullitson knew him from last year, trusts him, and when trust is there, it's just a different vibe and a different feel altogether for the player and the coaching staff when they send him out. And I think those are two big reasons why the Flames seem to be finding their stride at just the right time.
Well, Jermaine, that makes all the sense in the world. You've seen this before, and in fact, we're seeing it a little bit up here now with a guy you know. Chris Russell has his backers and his detractors, but the fact is he's come in here, and with the personnel in place, he's allowed certain other things to happen and complemented the pairings back there. You get a guy like Stone, who nobody's going to mistake him for a Norris candidate, but if he fits and complements the skill sets that are already there, it can make a world of difference.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Chris Russell did the same thing for the Flames a few years ago when he was paired with Dennis Wiedemann, and they were a legitimate number two pairing when Wiedemann was a little bit more effective and used on the power play. I just think Chris Russell in particular kind of priced himself out, and the Flames knew they weren't going to be able to keep him, and they traded him to Dallas for Joakim Pekka. Obviously, that didn't necessarily work out, but now you look at the new chance that they have with Curtis Lazar for a second-round draft pick. And Lazar's a mid-round, first-round draft pick that could still pan out. He's only 22 years old. Mm-hmm. But like you said, back to your point, absolutely. Chris Russell is a great defenseman, or a very good defenseman. Not sure if he is ever going to be paid like a great defenseman, like all players of his elk might go for, but he's stuck right in the middle, which is tough, because then the long-term contracts don't necessarily come, but you get paid for a good year here and there, that's for sure.
Jermaine Franklin from TSN in Calgary joins us discussing the Flames. Now, you mentioned Curtis Lazar. In Ottawa, there is no doubt about it that I felt they rushed him to the NHL. He's a prime example. You can maybe rush the elite top 5-10 guys, and they're good enough, but Lazar, I just was never that good, and that's not a knock. It's rare to be a top 5 player. Where do you see him in Calgary? Unfortunately, he can't go to the minors without clearing waivers, so that's not going to happen. Is there a spot for him on their fourth line? Is there a spot on their third line? Where do you see him playing? Is it spot duty down the stretch? What do you think?
I think all those are possible. I think about the fourth line. Matt Stajan has done a tremendous job at center. From what I understand, Lazar is a natural center, but has played mostly wing in the NHL. So I could see him spelling off Alex Chiasson for a game or two, giving him a chance. I could see him doing the same to Lance Boma, who has been a healthy scratch a few times already this year. That would be in the fourth line, and even on the third line, if Sam Bennett isn't doing too well at the center ice position, and they want to take some pressure off and put him on the wing, perhaps in the top six, or even still on that third line, I could see them giving Curtis Lazar a shot. One thing Brad Treliving did say today is that this is a long-term project. They don't exactly plan, or they don't expect Lazar to be what puts them over the top to solidify a playoff spot. Not at all. They know that he's in his early 20s. They know that he only has one assist this year, period. They know he had a tough start to the year because of mono, but they also know that he was a champion with the Edmonton Oil Kings, and they have a lot of intel in the Western Hockey League that still believe that he can contribute at the NHL level. And that's what they hope to see within a year or two. And maybe they get an early bonus this year. But back to your question, I do see him slotting in on the fourth line and maybe even the third line, depending on how the players are playing at that particular time.
Well, Jermaine, you know, I like Lazar as a player. His struggles out east are obvious, but I think this guy can be a National Hockey League forward, and he may be a third line guy at best. It's not his fault where he was taken. That's where the expectations come. You mentioned small steps and not the guy to put you over the top. You know, the Oilers made one of those moves with Desharnais. He's not going to turn things around or put this team over the top, but a guy like Lazar, and we saw it with this deadline with a lot of teams, you add the little pieces and make the little steps. You don't do it in one great leap.
I totally agree with what you just said, Robin, especially with the fact that the Flames are truly, honestly, still in the rebuilding mode. They should be at the end of it because it's been a good 3-4 years now. But they haven't forgotten that they are still building. They're still trying to stack the deck or replenish the cupboards, as they say. You look at the young forwards that are playing very well at in their early 20s, like Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau, and then you look at Matthew Tkachuk, who is way over, like, beyond expectations, and you hope that continues. Sam Bennett, not necessarily reaching his expectations yet, but again, in his early 20s, very young, and hopefully they're asking him to grow. As these guys grow, this team then can look to possibly rent a player to put them over the top. But I admire Brad Treliving for not getting ahead of himself. He sticks to the game plan. He has serious perspective. He's still building for the future, knowing that the team is improving, but with the hope that they all mature together to be a true contender in the not so distant future. So he hasn't put his future on lease, or he hasn't mortgaged away the future. He's actually still building this club, even though you can get a little too excited once in a while and think you should go for it right away. But he's still building slowly, incrementally, and hopefully, if you're a Flames fan, they actually make the playoffs this year and make it even worth their while a little bit more.
Well, Jermaine, it's going to be an interesting time in Alberta. The Flames and the Oilers both in the playoffs right now, and both with favorable March schedules. The Flames have 14 games, 10 of them at home. The Oilers have 13 with 11 at home. So it'll be an interesting time to see who comes out of the Pacific Division in what spot. And on a selfish note, I hope it's the Oilers and the Flames somehow second and third facing off against one another in the first round. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be nuts. Hopefully, I don't have to stay at Reese's place and they'll just get me a hotel in Edmonton, you know?
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a very good call. You don't want to have to listen, unless you like Timberlake every minute of the waking day, you might want to get something different.
I hear you.
Thanks, Jermaine.
Spot, Jay.
Hey, I do, buddy. I do. And well, although, you know, I don't mind JT, but I don't play him all the time. Right? More Bruno Mars at our house.
Nice.
All right, man. We'll talk to you then.
All right, boys. Thanks.
Jermaine Franklin from TSN.